Indiana Bible College is committed to training tomorrow's apostolic leaders today. This is the Indiana Bible College Podcast. Today's episode is sponsored by Mid-America Renewal Conference. MART 2019 will debut the 2019-2020 Indiana Bible College Choir and features a group of preachers that is absolutely amazing. Reverend Jody Wells, Reverend Victor Jackson, Reverend Josh Carson, Reverend Elias Lemonis, and Reverend Scott Graham. Of course, Reverend Paul Mooney. Ready yourself, because September 5 and 6, 2019 will be life-changing. Many of you may know, and some of you may be learning, that God does not always execute things the way we understand them to be best. This fact is highlighted on today's episode. Reverend Elias Lemonis, one of the MART 2019 speakers, preaches a message entitled, When God Crosses His Hands. We hope that you enjoy the message and make plans to attend MART 2019 on September 5 and 6, right now, When God Crosses His Hands.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Wow, I truly enjoyed the ministry of Brother Bounce, and that was not a sermon, that was a message. Very challenging, very passionately. I just love preachers that are so genuine in what they do. They not only preach, they live what they preach. And I feel that's the case with Brother Bounce. Appreciate his dear brother, young man, young preacher. Amen. Thank God. And what you play, the harmonica, is that what you call? Whew. I envy you for that. I know it's not, you know, I know that's a fleshly thing, but I envy him for that. That is a tremendous ability. We don't see those things anymore. We, you know, so in the songs, those old songs, you really took me to my childhood. All songs, they still touch you, isn't it? That's something to you. I guess we need to bring those back. I mean, because they're really, that's something to you on the inside. Thank you, Brother Val. Really, it was wonderful. And thank you, of course, to Pastor Mooney, who I love and admire throughout the years. He came out to our church, preached to us, spent some time with him. My life was just enriched with the days that he spent there in California. We went to different places, had a great time, and I've been here in this wonderful church in a few occasions. In fact, we were just here, we are in September already. We're back in June here, and had a great time here in the Spanish conference. Great, great church, the host us and back in June, the National Spanish Conference. Thank you so much, Brother Mooney. The staff of the church is wonderful. The hospitality, everything is great. And, you know, you go to so many places, and when you leave that place, you say, well, I'll never come back here again. It's just, you know, because the hospitality sometimes is not what you expect, to be honest. But here it's just first class. The office, the whole stuff is just, thank you so much, Brother Mooney. We really appreciate it. This morning we had a great time, and the question and answers. Brother Emery was scheduled to be here. He's my neighboring pastor. He's going to be preaching tonight. Great preacher. Great pastor in a great church. But I'm going to get in good, because I had to get up at 4:30 this morning in my biological clock so I can be at the... But I enjoyed it. I'm not really complaining. I truly enjoyed it. Just to be right next to Brother Mooney is a blessing to my life. How many appreciate this church and in the Bible school in Indianapolis, Indiana. It's just a great blessing. I'd like to go for my reading of the scripture to the book of Genesis chapter 48. And I'm going to, for the sake of time, it's 11:44. And Pastor Mooney is saying behind me, we got plenty of time. But I see some of you already getting a little weak on me there. But I'm not a long-winded preacher. I got something that I like to convey to you, perhaps in a different note, a different challenge to your life. And I pray that God will lead me to say what I need to say to a group of young preachers, Bible school students, anybody here that has the desire to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ, to do something significant for the kingdom of God. And if I can drop this word in your heart, you can take it home with you and start living it and believing it just like we heard. I believe God can use you. I really believe that. And it reads in verse 12 of Genesis 48, and Joseph brought him out from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand towards Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand towards Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, in other words, knowingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. In verse 17, and when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. Notice that. And he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, no, so my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. And his father refused it and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people. He also shall be great. But truly, his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. In verse 20, and he blessed in that day, saying, and thee shall Israel bless, saying, God made thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he said, Ephraim before Manasseh. I'd like to take this story from the Old Testament and bring it out to you. And I'm just going to preach under the subject, when God crosses his hands. When God crosses his hands. And I know I got two chairs here, but I need them. It's placed in a different spot here, if you don't mind. Why don't you raise up your hands right there where you are and just say, God, I prepare my mind and my heart to receive your word. Come on, lift up your voice. We already heard from the Lord. Brother Vance really preached to us and challenged us and really moved us. But one more time. Come on, one more time. God, touch my lips, touch my mind, touch my heart. Let me just convey the story to what you have placed in my heart, oh God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And God's people said amen. God's people said amen. Amen. You may be seated. I know I'm not bringing to you any great revelation for the scripture. Perhaps you heard somebody else preach on this scripture of the Bible in many instances. I heard my father preach on this many, many, many years ago. I was just a young man, and it kind of caused a very strong impact in my life. And so I thought I'd bring this out to you because I understand the audience that is in front of me. We have young ladies, young men going to Bible school. We have elders here that have been serving the Lord for many, many years. That I give honor to each of them. But I'd like to just throw this challenge to you. Maybe you are wondering where he's going to go with this. What he's going to try to tell us about this? Well, it's a great, powerful story in the Old Testament that really tells us about the plan of redemption in a different way. Because everything in the Word of God is pointing out to Jesus. Everything. From Genesis all the way to Revelation. And you know, I was just in England a few weeks ago, and we did a conference. They stayed behind for a few days of rest and vacation with my wife, my children, my grandchildren. We all went. And we went, I believe, the city or the town is called Westminster, and there is a chapel there. And he has this painting on the background. Maybe some of you have visited that chapel. And they had different characters from the Old Testament on the, it's a glass type of thing. And they have, there's Moses, there's Abraham, there's Isaac. And they're all pointing out like this. They point, and at the end of it, there is a portrait of the Lord Jesus. That's just telling us that everything on the Word of God is pointing out to him. And this story is the same. In this story, Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, was dying. And if you recall, Jacob had 12 sons. And in those sons, one of those sons was Joseph, the dreamer, the favored son of Jacob. Now, I'm not going to rehearsal the whole story this morning. But Joseph ended up in Egypt. And through a divine process, he became the prime minister of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. And while he was there, he got married and he had two sons. And the firstborn was Manasseh. The secondborn was Ephraim. And when Joseph heard that his father Jacob of Israel was in Goshen and he was dying, he brought his two sons because he wanted the blessing of his father to come upon those two sons that he had. And when he got there, he walked into the chamber where Jacob was laying in bed. He was sick. He was at the end of his life. So I had two young men that were supposed to help me here. I don't know if they're here. If you come and just sit right here. And then he comes, Joseph, and he brings Ephraim, and also Manasseh. Manasseh being the oldest, Ephraim being the youngest. And Jacob, knowing that his father could not see, the Bible says that his eyes were dimmed. He was almost blind, so he could not distinguish one from the other. So Jacob placed him strategically in front. Joseph placed him strategically in front of his father, Jacob. And he put Manasseh on the right side of him. And then he put Ephraim on the left hand of him. The right hand, the man of power, the hand of power, the hand of authority. He says, I wanted to go to my firstborn, which is Manasseh, because I got great plans for him. I know he's going to follow my footsteps. I know he's going to become a great leader. I know God's going to use him greatly. So I want that blessing from the right hand, the hand of power and anointing and the favor of God to come upon him. So he placed it strategically. So when his father stretched his hands, he was not able to see, but he was just put the hand, the right hand upon Manasseh and the left hand upon Ephraim, which the left hand, as we know in the language of the Bible, is the weak side, the weak hand. They both were going to be blessed. But however, Ephraim being the youngest, his blessing was not going to be as great as the first one. Are you with me? I'm just going to put a little foundation to what I want to convey to you this morning. So they are, and at the moment of praying, the prayer of blessing, something strange happened. Something out of the ordinary. Something out of the conventional way to do things. Well, that's how our God works sometimes. He likes to surprise us sometimes. And when Jacob approached them, and all of a sudden, his right hand went to the youngest, and the left hand went to the oldest. The Bible says willingly. In other words, he knew what he was doing, In verse 17 that we read today, when Joseph saw what was going on, immediately he reacted. Bible says, it displeased Joseph. And he said to his father, not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put the right hand upon his head. And I'm sure Joseph in his mind had made all these plans for his oldest son. He said he's going to be great amongst these people. I know he's going to continue the legacy that God has given me. He's going to be a great leader. He's going to have influence in the kingdom. But brothers and sisters, man might set it up, but God can mess it up. You might try to do something certain way, but the Lord steps in and he changes the way we like to do certain things. Others might overlook you, but God will never do that. My second son will do great things. I'm sure he was going through the mind of Joseph. I know Ephraim is going to be great as well, my second son. But I know he's not the most talented. Perhaps he doesn't come from he doesn't have the same abilities that my oldest son Manasseh has. And when the right hand went to the youngest, immediately his reaction was, this cannot be. Well, I feel to tell you this morning that God is here to surprise us all. God is here. I believe he's going to cross his hands on somebody in this audience. I believe it with all of my heart. And nobody has given you a chance to do anything significant with your life. Perhaps there's a young lady here. Perhaps there's a young man in this place. It's just because you made some bad choices, maybe because you went the way that you shouldn't go, the devil has told you that you will never be raised up and restored to a place where you can enjoy the blessings, the power, the anointing of God upon your life. But the devil is a liar, and he is the father of all lies, because when God crosses his hands, he's saying, I know men said it this way, and the enemy told you that you will never amount to anything in life. But when I cross my hand, I change the destiny of people. And when I raise one up and I bring another one down, I can make you the head and not the tail. I can put you above and not underneath. I can place my anointing in your life. I can make you somebody that's going to make a difference in this generation. That happens when God crosses his hands. Not so, my father. Not so, my father. You are doing it the wrong way. I want the greater blessing to fall upon my firstborn, Manasseh. But Jacob said to him, I know it. This is not the right way or the conventional way to do things. But the race is not for the swift, not the battle for the strong. But I am a God that when I cross my hands, I change the destiny of people. And I don't know about you, but that's my testimony here today. I'm not supposed to be here. I'm not supposed to be where I am. But God crossed his hands some time along this road. He crossed his hand. Maybe others were more talented. Maybe others are more capable. Maybe others have the right last name. Maybe others are more intelligent and more educated. Maybe others, but I tell you, when God crosses his hands, he changes things. And I believe if you hunger to be used by God, if you genuinely have a hunger, God, I want to be used by you. That's the only thing I care in this world, is to be used by you. I believe God is looking for somebody to cross his hand on. Oh, I believe that this morning we have future church planters. I believe we have future pastors, future missionaries, preachers, ministers of worship in our churches. I believe we got some young people are going to be great, great business men in the community. They are going to bless the kingdom of God. I believe we got many professionals here. Maybe somebody else didn't give you a chance, but God is here today, and he's about to cross his hands on somebody in this place. Maybe I'm speaking to somebody. They have the desire to do something, but don't know how am I going to get there. How am I going to go up there? God, I want to serve you, and you have a lot of dreams, and you got thoughts and plans and ideas, but you don't know how you're going to get there. Let me assure you this morning, God can cross his hands on you. And when he does that, there's power that comes with it. There's anointing that comes with it. There's a spiritual authority that comes with it. He's going to raise you up. He's going to set you up high. He's going to use you for his glory. He's going to use you for his honor. But you had to get hungry. You had to have a desire. You cannot just go to Bible school, or you cannot just go any other school and just go through the motions. No, God, I'm not coming just to get an understanding, but oh, I want to be used by the Lord. I might not be the most qualified person, but if there's anything that you can use, God, use me. God crosses his hands to take you to heights unknown. He crosses his hand so that the ordinary can do extraordinary things. Because when God crosses his hands, he interrupts cycles. He interrupts the normal flow and expectations. And he breaks us out of our limitations. And he sets us free. And he says, I have greater things for you that you never dreamed. I never thought I'd be a pastor in the church that I pastor. Hundreds of people come on Sunday. Oh, to the English services, to the Spanish services. I never thought God's going to take me to those high levels of a spiritual in the kingdom of God. I never dreamed, but God is a God that can cross his hands. And he can take you higher that you ever dream of. But you had to have a desire deep inside of you. While you have some other friends of you that are playing church and they are more just going through the motions, you're going to be set apart, and you're going to say, God, I didn't come just to go around. I didn't come just to go through the motions. I came, God, because I want to serve you. I came because I want to be used by you, God. I got the Holy Ghost in me. I got your name, God, but I need you to put your right hand up on my hand. Give me a fresh anointing. Give me a, God, I need you like I never needed you before. And if you're hungry, God's going to cross his hands on you. You're going to walk out of this building today after what you heard last night, after what you heard this morning. You can walk out of this building completely different than what you came in. Hallelujah. You can feel it on the inside. Your vision is going to be expanded. There's going to be a fire shut up in your bones. That nothing is going to stop you. There's no gates of hell. There's no devil in hell. There's no demon in hell. Nothing. There's no circumstances. There is no cultural ways. Nothing will stop you. You're going to become a difference maker in this generation for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You may be sitting just a second. God crossed his hands. As Pastor Mooney mentioned, I was in Texas. I went there to help my brother to raise a church. And while I was going there, I was going to college at the same time. And I started working for the company of Coca-Cola when I was 19 years of age. And I go to school in the mornings, and I go after school and I sweep. I would clean the warehouse. I clean the bathrooms. I did the janitorial work. And I go to school. I go to church. I was the youth leader in the church. I play instruments. I did all that I knew how to do it for the Lord. But I had dreams. I had visions in my heart. And I didn't know how I was going to get there. But we serve a God that he can cross his hands. And I remember after my second year of college, and I finished my AA in marketing and business and all that, and my boss approached me. And he says, listen, I heard you talk about your dreams and all that. Listen, there's an opening in the West Coast of the headquarters building in San Francisco. You want to apply? And at first, I thought, no, I'm not qualified for that yet. It was a big position in the office, in the corporate office there. And I saw all these guys applying. And I thought, I don't think I can qualify. But anyway, my wife says, just do it. You're not going to lose anything if they choose a grave, you know. So anyway, I filled out the application. I put all my history and all that stuff that they require, and I turned in my application. It was about 20, 21 applications. My boss told me they're going to choose one from those 21. I didn't think I was going to be chosen. But when the day came and my boss approached me and he says, you know what? You won't believe this, but you've been chosen to go to San Francisco headquarters. I felt like God crossed his hands on me because I know there were more people that were more qualified. But God raised me up to a position where I can come. And even everything was planned by God, because when I was there, God was going to take me out and set me apart for the ministry. But all my experience that I acquired while I was working for this great company, I was going to apply in the kingdom of God. To strategically reach my area, the Bay Area. That by the help of God, we have planted 14 other churches. And we have 4 satellite churches. And I pastor the mother church. And we are saturating the Bay Area with the gospel of Acts 2:38. The apostolic gospel. The only gospel that can save humanity. But God crosses his hands. And when he crosses his hands, he circumvents others, perhaps, that they are more qualified in our own perception. But God is not looking how much you have or you know. He's looking into your heart this morning. He's going deeper than what I can see or your friends and your peers can see. Oh, God is going deep this morning. He's going to choose somebody's. God's right hand is going to come upon somebody here today. And it doesn't matter your background or where you come from. God is not consulting to your past to determine your future. No, God loves to take nobodies and make them into somebody. God loves to take people that are going nowhere and set them on the path to go somewhere. God loves to take people that are overlooked and he crosses his hand and say, watch me how I'm going to use you. I'm going to raise you up for my name's sakes. That's the kind of God that we serve here today. But you had to have a hunger deep inside of Bill. Finally, you're going to find yourself doing things that you thought you were not capable of doing. But it's because the hand of God. If there's anything that I want, it's the hand of God up on my life, my wife, my children, my car, my grandchildren. I want the hand of God up on my life. And God, in his wisdom, he looked beyond everything in the natural, because the Bible says that Jacob knowingly crossed his hands, because even though he could not see physically, he was led by the Holy Ghost. He was led by the Spirit of the Lord. And the Holy Ghost said, I want you to lay your hand on the second child. I know everything was planned for the first one. I know that Jacob did everything, or Joseph did everything that he was supposed to do because he was his first son. But I want you to place your right hand on the second one, because I am a God that when I cross my hands, I raise somebody that was destined
destiny in the eyes of men to take the second spot. I'm going to put him first. I am the God that makes the last first and the first last. I am the God can raise you up and nobody can put you down. When I promote you, there's nobody can bring you down. If it does you and you have a hunger, God, if there's anything you can use, you can use me, oh God. Clap your hands and say, God, use me.
Now, he doesn't cross his hands just in anybody. But he's looking on the audience today. He's over each row. It's that the hunger when I sat there in that great conference in 1990. And I sat there. And because of the times in 1990, it's a young man with a hunger on my soul. And I was challenged like I was challenged this morning by Brother Bonds about soul winning. My heart melted. I ran into the altar after it was finished. And I stayed there for 3 hours. Everybody left. The lights were dimmed. But I was there crying. Oh, there was something that got hold of me that day. I believe God crossed his hands on me. And when I went back home, I was just not excited. I was not emotional. I said, God, I got to do something. There's a fire right in my gut. It's a fire deep in my soul. I cannot be just as usual anymore. I cannot just be a Christian that goes on Sunday. I cannot be just a somebody that is assistant pastor to the. Oh, no, no. There's something. I got to do something. You got to get up this morning and say, God, I'm tired just to be the same and same. I got to do something. You got to do something. You got to have the one to. That Brother Ox said one time, you got to have the one too. That's going to circumvent those that are casual and passive about it. But I know this young people here. There are some young men, young ladies. There are some pastors who knows they are so hungry for revival. They are so hungry for what the Brother Bound just preached to us. And we got everything. We got the anointing. We got the name. We got the truth. We got the gospel. We got all the tools. But sometimes it seems like we're just not getting there. You got to have the want to. You got to have the desire. You cannot just come and cross your arms and your legs and be passive. No, you got to have the want to. People that has become success in life have not been the most talented people all the time, but there have been people that have the desire to do something significant with their lives. And that's what you got to have for God. Do you really want to be used of the Lord? Do you really want to say, God, this is my life. I laid it in front of you. And throughout the scriptures, I see a pattern of God crossing his hands. The first family, Adam and Eve, they had 2 sons. The firstborn was Cain. The secondborn was Abel, the youngest. And they both came to Mark. They both brought in offerings unto God. They both came and they both were sitting down in the audience just like you and I. But one says, I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to bring the best to my God. I'm not just going to go there just to go. I'm going to go there because I'm so hungry to please my God. And he came to service just like today. And they present their offerings. And they praise the Lord. And they clap their hands. And they jump. And they dance in the altars. But one, when the Lord saw those, he crossed his hands. And the blessing that was supposed to go to the firstborn, it went to the secondborn called Abel. And the offering of Abel was pleased unto God. Let me tell you something. When God crosses his hands on you, people are going to talk about you. They're going to try to kill you with his attitudes and words and criticism. But you don't worry about that. You keep serving the Lord. You keep a pure heart. You keep a humble spirit. You keep serving. Let them say whatever they want to say. But oh God, when God crosses his hands, everything changes around you.
and people are going to notice. As long as you keep a humble spirit, as long as you keep a pure heart, God is going to continue to use you. People are going to say things about you. Don't pay attention to that. And everything that what you're doing is because of your talent or your ability. No, you keep loving the truth. You keep loving the apostolic gospel. You keep preaching and living the holiness doctrine that we believe. You keep loving this truth and God will set you apart. Hallelujah.
Isaac had two sons. Esau was born. They were twins, but Esau was born first. Then Jacob. And the Bible says that he was fighting inside the womb of the mother. I mean, he was grabbing to the heel his older brother Esau, like saying, listen, I don't want to be second. I want God to use my life. And he was fighting even from the womb, but Esau was born first. But you know what? Even though Esau was a good boy, he loved sports. He liked to go hunting and did all those things. He was a boy to stay in the house, and Jacob was a liar, a conniver. He did all kinds of wrong stuff, but there was something in him that wanted to say, God, I want you to use me. I want to do something significant with my life. And that hunger in him, one time he was right there, and he was hungry for the Lord after so many events in his life. And the angel of the Lord came down, and he began to fight with him. It says, God, I'm not going to continue to be like I've always been. I want to be changed. I want to be transformed. And that day, God touched Jacob. He crossed his hand. Esau didn't want nothing to do with the blessing of God. He cared more about the trivial things of life. But there was Jacob. God, I'm so hungry. God, I'm so thirsty. God, I want something special for you. I want to do something for your glory, oh God. And God honored the hunger and the desire of Jacob. And when God crossed his hand, he says, it's not longer it's going to be Jacob. From now on, your name is going to be Israel, which means prince with God. God can transform your life today. You can completely be changed today. But are you hungry? Are you have the desire? Do you have that wanting inside of you? I tell you what, when you have the hunger for God, the desire of the presence of God, when you pull away from everybody who knows is doing what, but you are there, God, I don't want to be just a normal person. I want to be used by you. I want to impact my community. There are souls to be reached, oh God. There are churches to be planted, oh God. Use me, oh Lord, here I am. Use me, oh Lord. And when God sees the hunger deep in you, he's going to cross his hands. And the left hand that was supposed to go to you, instead the right hand is going to come over you. And there's a special anointing that's going to come upon your life. And God's going to equip you. And God's going to lead you. And God's going to bless you. And God's going to open doors that have been shut for a long time. There's going to be a new fire in your soul. There's going to be a new desire deep within you. You don't want to be just a preacher. You don't want to be just a pastor. You don't want a title. But God becomes everything in your life and everything else around him and your relationship with the Lord. When God crosses his hands, you feel a fire shut up on your bones. Then nothing can stop it. Nothing can contain it. Oh, there's something special that comes from God. And when you open your mouth, it's not only going to be words coming out, but those words are going to be bathed in anointing. People are going to come to the altars. They're going to repent from their sins. People are going to be baptized in the precious name of Jesus and filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, because there's going to be an anointing, just like when God crossed his hands upon this young man and he's raising a great church. Perhaps others could not raise a church, but when God crosses his hands, you can go to the gates of hell, and you're gonna raise a church at the gates of hell. He doesn't care if you're black, Hispanic,
Asian. He'll circumvent others that perhaps got the right color and the right language and all that stuff. He'll go around it. Because he sees something beyond our skin. And by the way, the church of the living God is not only one culture church. It'll be absurd for me to say this morning, even though that I've been categorized that way, that our church is a Spanish church. No, my church, our church, the church that I got the privilege to pastor, that God's given me the grace to do that, they know, they're trained that this is not a Spanish church. This is not an English church. This is just a church. Everybody's welcome here. From every walks of life. From every culture of background. It doesn't matter what language you speak. It doesn't matter. We got people from Pakistan, Muslims, that we baptize, and we're getting into that community right now. We got Bible studies. We got small groups going into the Pakistani culture of the Bay Area. We got African Americans. We got Pacific Islanders. We got Filipinos. We got from every country in Latin America. We got it from everywhere. And there might be other churches, and there might be other congregations, but when God crosses his hand, he says, I'm going to choose that church, apostolic church, and I don't care if they have a better building. I don't care if they're more educated. I don't care if they're high in society. When he crosses his hand, I believe God is crossing his hand on his church, apostolic church. And you don't have to dilute the message. And you don't have to change the doctrine. And you don't have to go with a popular crowd. No, you don't have to dilute anything. You gotta stay strong in the truth and love the truth and preach the truth and live the truth. Keep your heart pure. Keep your mind pure. Keep the anointing flowing in your life. I believe God is about to cross his hands on somebody here today. Brother Vance preached about churches that are not baptizing people. Churches that are not having people repented and being filled with the Holy Ghost. God is about to change that right now. Are you hungry for revival? I mean, when you go to sleep, you think of revival. When you get up in the morning, before you put a cup of coffee in your lips and a piece of donut in your mouth, you say, God, let this day be a day where I can reach one soul for the kingdom of God. Are you that kind of hunger? If you have the hunger, God's about to cross his hands on you. There's going to be a special anointing that's going to come and flow through you. Jesse had 8 sons. And when the prophet Samuel came in to anoint the next king of Israel, there he comes, the first one, Abinadab, I think it was his name. And he walked in, and look at the reaction of the prophet. Prophets, sometimes we're not connected with the spirit sometimes. We are impressed by our charisma. We are impressed by the way they dress. We are impressed by the way the car they drive. And we go, oh, wow, oh. But God is not saying that. He's looking into your heart. He's looking are you playing games? Are you going to Bible school just to spend time there and just say that you went to Bible school? Or are you going there because you really want to do something for the glory of God? If you don't have that desire, let me tell you something with respect. You are wasting your time. Go to a secular college. But if there's a fire deep inside of your soul, a hunger for the presence of God, and then God's going to raise you up and use you for God's glory. Because the prophet was, wow, this one's got all the goods. He's tall, he's good looking, he's a warrior, and he was ready to, he grabbed the horn of oil, he was ready to pour it on. He was going to waste the anointing. We ain't got time to waste anointing. This is too precious. And the Lord says, hold on. Boy, he holds it back. He says, go on, son. The second one can do the same thing. He's ready to put it on. Hold on. We ain't got time to waste anointing. That's what I was talking about, mentorship. You got to connect with somebody that's got your spirit. I'm not going to waste my time with somebody that's just playing church. But if somebody has a fire, and I can see the passion in their eyes, and the spirit, that genuine, pure desire to reach souls, to do something for God, I'm going to take that young man under my wing, and I'm going to pray with him. I'm going to cry with him. I'm going to show him how to do it. Because we ain't got no time to waste anointing. When Moses, the Lord told Moses, listen, you need some disciples. I want you to go to the door of the tabernacle. I want you to stand there. And I'm going to call 70 more. And that's the first colonization of mankind. He was the first clone. He says, I'm going to take out of you spirit.
He did say that. That's right.
And I'm going to put that spirit that you have, not the Holy Ghost, your spirit, your vision, your burden that you have for my people, I'm going to transfer to 70 more. Brother Cole Tarp. It was his spirit. It was not the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm saying. I'm talking about mentorship this morning. Are you serious about serving the Lord? You want the spirit of these great men of God, this warrior of the apostolic gospel? I know he's not playing no game. He loves everybody. He's a sweetheart. I mean, he loves everybody. But I tell you, none of us got time to waste anointing. And finally, the Lord says, Samuel, I'm going to cross my hands. They all went by. And there was number 8. Hey, are you sure you don't have anybody else? He says, oh, yeah. In fact, some theologians, because of that, they think that David was an illegitimate son because he was not even called into the meeting. He didn't have the courtesy to say, David, we're going to have a meeting. It's very important. Can you come? No, I just stay there. Just that nobody cares about you. The only thing you know is how to play the harmonica. And you know, the only thing you know, that's the only thing you know. You are bunkers or something like that. Where are you from? The Moonies. Nobody cares about you. You're from Parkersburg, Virginia. Another side of the world. But when God crosses his hands, he can take somebody from way out of Parkersburg, Virginia, get him out of there, and build an apostolic church that's changing a community. He crossed his hands, Brother Pedigo, and the hand went to David, the youngest of all. Then one that he says, he didn't look like king, either didn't smell like king, he didn't have a crown like a king, but the king was inside of him. See, that's the thing. We are looking at you on the outside, but I see there's a king on the inside. There's a preacher, anointed preacher on the inside. Ladies, I see missionaries. I see wives of great pastors here. I see great future for the church. If you just get hungry, don't worry about anything else. Just get hungry for the presence of God. Listen to tapes. Listen to apostolic preaching. Don't be listening to these charismatic preachers, but just get some CDs from some apostolic preachers that not only touch your ear, but touches your heart. There's got to be a hunger. If there's something that I admire from my father, that 10 months ago he went to be with the Lord, it was the hunger that he had for the presence of God. Even at 88 years of age, before he died, he was right there in the altar. First one in church, last one to leave the altar, always supporting the preacher, always worshiping the Lord. He was feeble, he was weak, but he was there. He taught me, son, if you're going to be used by God, it's not going to be because you're intelligent. It's not going to be because you're education. It's not because you're charismatic. It's not because anything else. If you're going to be used by God, you're going to have to humble before the Lord. And you're going to have to seek his face. And when you do that, God's going to cross his hands on you. And I appreciate your friendship. Because you know I look up to you throughout the years. And you've been a friend of mine, a real friend of mine. Like you say, we need some good friends. And as you get older, the circle of friends get a little smaller because you're very choosy about it. You know you're going to choose the right people that speaks into your life. The Lord Jesus, the God, our God, the Spirit had two sons. The first one was Adam in Genesis. But Paul tells us that there was a second son called Jesus Christ, the second Adam. And Adam, the first Adam, he was destined to control, to have power and dominion of all the creation of Jesus, the God. But he crossed his hands. And the hand came on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he heard a voice. While he was being baptized by John the Baptist. This is my beloved son in whom I am pleased. The other one didn't please me, but this one have pleased me. This is it. I believe there is somebody here under the sound of my voice. They don't want to please men. They don't want to please his friends. They don't want to please nobody. You just want to please God. If there's anything you can use me, oh God. Is anybody here? I believe I didn't fly all the way from California. And I just put in my 2 cents into this conference. Might not be a whole lot. But I feel it deep in my heart. Because somewhere down the road, my God crossed his hands on me. He's blessed me beyond what I imagined. He's taken me to places that I never dream of. Just a little boy from South America, born in a tiny little country of Ecuador. My first missionary was Sister Lucille Farmer. I love that lady. She's gone to be with the Lord. Brother Scott, which is practically my second father, he's still living in San Luis, Missouri. And he put so much into me. But I never dreamed that I'd be preaching in Calvary in Indianapolis, Indiana. There are others, but the Lord crossed his hands. And a little boy in the country of Ecuador, he crossed his hands. And now he's given me the opportunity to preach all around the world in different conferences all over the place. I don't deserve that. I'm humbly saying these things. I just try to inspire a young man. I just try to inspire a young lady. I just try to inspire a pastor. Who knows? I know we go through a lot. I know we get frustrated when the altars are not moving, when we're not baptizing people, when the church is not growing, when we're not retaining people, when people are going out the back door. I know it can get frustrated, but let me tell you something. Don't lose your hunger for the presence of God, for the anointing of God. Keep yourself humble. Keep yourself pure, and God's going to cross his hands upon your church. I believe God's crossing his hands. The apostolic church, I believe what you say. These are the better days. The best days, I believe, Brother Dempsey said it last night. Our best days are still ahead of us. I believe that with all of my heart. And Jacob was dying. Sit down for you two. You stand. Where's the musicians, please? You two. Jacob was dying. And by inspiration of God, he crossed his hands. I mean, he was supposed to go like this. And there's nothing wrong with you. And don't go out and say, well, you know, No, you okay. This is just a little drama that I'm doing. The hand of the Lord is upon you too. This is just to show this audience here today. And Joseph is placed in so strategically. So his father, which was blind at that point, he only thing had to do is stretch his hand. In the right hand. Say the right hand. How many want the right hand?
it represents power and anointing and favor of God and blessings of God. And I want that. There's some people says, I don't care about that. I do. Because if I don't have the blessing of the Lord in my ministry, then what am I going to do? I'm going to struggle every day of my life. And it's not the will of God for us to struggle every day of our lives. Yeah, we're going to have some struggles. Yeah, we're going to have some lack every now and then, but not all the time. How are we going to build churches like this? I want that right hand. You want that right hand. We all want that right hand. Yeah, if it got places the left hand, praise God. It's still the hand of God. But there's something when he crossed his hands. No, daddy, no, please, no, you're doing it wrong. God says, I don't make mistakes. Our God is a perfect God. There's no accidents with God. I'm not here by accident. I'm here on purpose of God. None of us are here by accident. We're here on purpose of God. We purposes of God right now. Don't do it. I'm a God that can raise somebody up. And when I raise somebody up, nobody can bring you down. There's no devil in hell. There's no demon in hell. The gates of hell shall not prevail against an apostolic church who is filled with power. And when the anointing of God, there's no devil in hell. Because the right hand is on the church. And 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ is in that cross. I just keep playing because I'm winding down here. I'm cutting my message. There is in the cross. And that cross means, okay, this is the way there is. But in that cross, God crossed his hands. And he took the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He took the purity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He took the holiness of the Lord. He crossed it, he says, and put it on me. And he took my sin. And he took my nasty attitudes. And he took my pride. And he put it on him. And he took his healing and put on my diseased body. And he took my disease and he put it on him. And he took his blessing and he took his anointing and he put it on me. And he took all the stuff that was in me, all my religiosity and all my dryness. He took it out of me and he put it on him. God crossed his hands. And that's why we are here today. We're not here because we are the cream of the crop. We're not here. You're not here, young man, just because you are a young man. You are here because God, our holy God, the Holy One of Israel, crossed his hands and he took our infirmities and he took our transgressions and put it on Jesus. And he took his holiness and he took his purity, and by his spirit and by his stripes and by his blood he imputed to us his holiness. I ain't got nothing good in me today. I'm just a wretched old sinner saved by the grace of God. Sometimes we walk in a conference like this like if we are something. If we are something, it's because of the grace of God. My challenge to you, and I'm cutting my message short while you are standing there, somebody plays some kind of song back there in the background because I don't know how to sing and I don't know how to play an instrument. But what I like to say, there's anybody here like I was 25 years ago? It's a young man. So hungry. God is about to cross his hands. Not just in anyone. He's going to put his right. You were supposed to get the left hand. He's about to cross his hand and lay his right hand upon your ministry, upon your church, upon your family. Come on, parents. Pray that the Lord will put his right hand on your children. I want the right hand of God up on my children and my grandchildren, oh God. I want to start a legacy today. Come on, somebody raise your hands and let it cry out. I know this message is a little different, but God, if you feel the urgency deep inside of you, if you feel the fire in your soul, don't worry about lunchtime. Don't worry what time it is. And stay there. Cry your heart out before the Lord. Say, God, I'm not getting out of this altar until I feel the right hand. Come on, somebody. Come on, some young men. I wish I had some young people here. They had the hunger that I had 35 years ago in that altar. Crying my eyeballs out. Crying, crying, and dreaming. God, transform me like a Jacob. There's going to be a transformation. There's going to be a transformation. Just like Jacob was transformed from a worm to a king of Israel, a prince with God. Come on, somebody, raise.
Greetings, podcast listeners. If you're interested in sponsoring an Indiana Bible College podcast episode, email podcast@go2ibc.com. podcast@go2ibc.com. Sponsorship is a simple and cost-effective way to promote your ministry or business, and we would love to partner with you in spreading your message. A featured episode sponsor includes a 15-second ad spot preceding the episode, similar to what you heard with Mark today. Nearly 10,000 downloads happen each month of the Indiana Bible College podcast, and your ad spot will be not only featured here, but also on our YouTube channel, boasting over 45,000 subscribers. And it also includes advertising on social media platforms of IBC of this particular episode. Again, sponsorship is a simple and cost-effective way to get your ministry or business message out there, and we look forward to partnering with you in spreading your message. God's blessings.